I'm Celeste Headley. This is On Second Thought. The civil rights movement in the South is very well documented, but one author says what happened next could use more explanation. Regina Bradley is author of Boondock Collage, New Stories from the Contemporary Black South. It offers 12 short stories that chronicle Southern life in the post-civil rights era. Regina, welcome back.
Hi, Celeste. How are you?
It's good to have you, and congratulations on the new book.
Thank you.
Can we start with the dedication? Half the dedication says, "For my blood, chosen, and forgotten kinfolks, I'm writing myself back to you."
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. So I initially started this project to reclaim my creative voice, because graduate school just takes all creativity out of you. So I was really thinking about just those stories that I heard growing up, those stories that I wanted to tell, and this idea that, you know, in Albany, and pretty much across the, you know, the Black South, this idea of community is important. So your kinfolks, so the people that I haven't talked to in a while, the people that I wanted to reconnect with, I think that writing these stories was a way to do that.
So you also say in this book that storytelling is an act of reckoning.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
So when I say it's an act of reckoning, it means it's kind of a not necessarily a forced confrontation, but an acknowledgement of the reality that things have changed. One of the things that I feel like I've said on this show many a time is the idea that folks hate to reckon with the idea of a contemporary South, particularly a contemporary Black South. And being able to use stories to do that is one way to open up that conversation.
So you're talking in this book through all these stories, which are lyrical. They struck me as very Southern because they're
Thank
so
you.
Lyrical.
And, I try.
and so much bigger than your average story, right? I mean, everything in the South is bigger. The fish is always bigger. The tree is always taller. But you're talking about growing pains here.
Right.
And you're talking about growing pains, not of yourself, not just yourself, but even people in your book who are elderly,
mm-hmm.
And how they grew past the civil rights era. Why use stories to talk about that instead of just a nonfiction academic book?
That's boring. I just find that storytelling is a way to bring various groups together, and I think it was important for me to acknowledge through this project that I'm not at all dismissing the older generations in the South, but I do want to recognize and make room for the fact that there are new voices and new narratives and new experiences that are not necessarily restricted, but are especially adapt to the post-civil rights South. So being able to kind of show not only the younger folks trying to wade through what it means to be young Southern and Black, but also for older folks to be like, what does it mean for them to think that they're young Southern and Black? And the other part of it, too, is, you know, I was raised by my grandparents. So it was really important for me to recognize the fact that they also moved on with me past the civil rights movement. It just might be in a different perspective. So I wanted to include that in the stories.
So you there's this dichotomy, and you have talked about this before, between trying to honor those who have gone before you and
right.
yet move on.
Yes.
And that is sometimes an uneasy alliance. We have seen cases in which lions of the civil rights movement have spoken
mm-hmm.
Very angrily about new generations and how they protest and how they define themselves as Black Americans or African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find a new understanding of that through the process of writing this book?
A little bit. My grandma is super nervous about this book. She said that I use some language that she said, well, one, she said it wasn't ladylike, but two, she was also concerned about reception because of that exact fact, right?
This is Nana Boo Boo, Nana Boo that you refer.
Nana Boo. That's
Nana Boo and Pawpaw.
Yeah, Nana Boo and Pawpaw. Yeah, so my papa is deceased, bless his heart. But my grandmother is still very much aware and sensitive to not only how I present myself, because that's kind of like Southern 101. It's never just you. It's you and the whole family. So kind of working through that. But yeah, just trying to find a way to connect these experiences together, and being able to include those tensions in the book is particularly important. So I think one of the stories that really does that for me is Between the Hedges, which kind of talks about this grandfather and his grandson. He got accepted to UGA, and then the grandfather has a flashback about how he wanted to go to UGA, but something happened, and that's why he didn't go. So,
which we, no spoilers.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. All right, let's talk a little bit about the connections to hip hop. Your title is a nod to Field Mob, I assume.
Yes.
So let's hear a little bit about from Outkast. This is from the Source Awards back in 1995 when they took prize for Best New Rap Group, and the audience started booing.
Pressure can either bust pipes or create a diamond, and what Andre said when he got on that microphone created a diamond.
But it's like this though, I'm tired of folks, you know what I'm saying? The closed-minded folks, you know what I'm saying? It's like we got a demo tape and don't nobody want to hear, but it's like this, the South got something to say, that's all I got to say.
How does hip-hop fit into this narrative of growing up and creating a new post-civil rights Black Southern narrative?
Yeah, so if folks are looking for like a book of freestyles, you know, it didn't make the cut this time. So it's bigger than just thinking about hip hop culture in terms of lyricism. One of the things that I really love about Southern hip hop is that we pull from everyday experiences. So when I say the hip hop South, not only am I talking about like chronologically, which is, you know, after 1968, but also the different aesthetics that impact that. So the ideas of community, the ideas of sound, the ideas of improv and dialogue and joking around, all of these things that are very much part of the Southern hip hop landscape, I try to give some kind of justice to in the book project. So yeah, so Boondock Collage is actually a shout out to Field Mob. So when they first started, that was their name, Boondock and Collage. But I wanted to take it a step further in terms of thinking about the idea that there are multiple narratives, multiple experiences of what it means to be Southern. So that's where the collage part comes in. And, you know, also the idea of the Boondocks. One, it says it's nowhere, but also like if you're in the South and in the country, like, oh, you live in the Boondocks. So just putting those two together.
Did you just call Albany the Boondocks?
I did. I could do that. I'm from there.
All right. Let's revisit another pretty important event that you reference in the book, and that's Hurricane Katrina. And you describe it as a sort of pivotal point. So here's a little flavor of that. In 2015, we spoke with Audrey Boyd. She's 95 years old. It was at the time. Now in Marietta, relocated there from New Orleans after the hurricane.
And we had to get out of that boat and walked all the miles. I think it was 24. And a fella said to me, a youngster, he said, Grandma, you'll make it. It makes me think at the age I am, you see, that man above is with me.
Why do you describe Hurricane Katrina as so pivotal in terms of civil rights?
Well, Hurricane Katrina is a turning point for what we think the Southern is, especially Southern Black folks. I mean, it physically reshaped the Southern region, culturally reshaped the Southern region because of folks that were displaced, not refugees, displaced, because they're, you know, citizens. That always kind of irked me. But being able to kind of see how the physical, the cultural re-renderings of what it means to be Southern, because these folks have been removed from their particular South and being introduced to these other forms of South. So Houston, Atlanta, further west, further northeast. And it just really did things to kind of reshape and reimagine what that contemporary Southernness means. And in terms of civil rights, I mean, aside from the fact that you have a lot of justified criticism about the way that the response to Hurricane Katrina was handled, and yet we're still feeling those after effects, those after ripples of the impact of that storm is very much important and very much a part of the contemporary Southern conversation.
That is Regina Bradley. She is author of Boondock Collage, New Stories from the Contemporary Black South. She will speak Sunday at 3 p.m. in Atlanta at the Auburn Avenue Research Library on African American Culture and History. Regina, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.